Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo and this is a broadcast on my part coming from Anchorage, Alaska. And we have a special guest this afternoon, Carielle Quinley. She is one of the BBS radio hosts and she has a lot of things to share with us today. But one of the items that she has published, she has called Crop Circle Cards. And we're going to be talking a little bit about this. But before that, I want to welcome Carielle. Welcome to the show.
Oh, it's such a pleasure, Donna.
Thank you. Now, Carielle, you have these cards, and we had talked about this a few months back. And you developed these crop circle cards. And so frequently when people put things together like this, it's very much out of the norm. The individual usually has something special that goes along with it. Now, you are a counselor yourself, you're a researcher, you are involved in telepathic work, you have been presenting programs regarding crop circles and other areas of knowledge that you have for a lot of years. You have a master's degree in psychology, and you're an ordained minister of the Gateway community. You have been involved in the area of mind study and the paranormal for over 25 years. How in the world did you get involved with crop circles? You know, a lot of people think that this is a bunch of Looney Tunes specials, and we've all seen programs about people that supposedly have gone out and made these, but there is so much more to crop circles. What introduced you to them? How did you get involved with them?
Well, it's quite an interesting story. I don't often talk about it. I did write about it in my book that I have accompanying the cards. So obviously it's out there, so I'm willing to talk about it. Back in 1988, I was working as a school psychologist in Baltimore, and involved very much in the consciousness movement, belonged to a special group. We meditated, and I was into yoga, philosophy, and had been very much aware of there was something special about the Kundalini. I didn't know quite what, so I was kind of on the periphery. But I ended up going with a group of five people to Mount Shasta, California,
mm-hmm.
And we just were in this wonderful rarefied air. It's a very special place, so I recommend if anybody hasn't gone, get out there and go. It put me into an altered state pretty much the whole time. We were there about 3 days,
mm-hmm.
And on the last day, we had been very, very much meditating, and I went to a cafe with my friends to eat, and it was kind of like a cafeteria style where we stood in line to get our food, and next to me stood this incredibly fascinating energy, and I'm into energy, and I looked at him and I realized that, boy, very unusual person, very tall, and a very powerful energy. And as I looked at him, we communicated telepathically. And I know it sounds odd, but that was my first experience with that. And I thought nothing really uncommon about it. I just thought, well, this, you know, just go with the flow. And we sat down together at a table, and I looked into his crystal blue eyes. Kind of looked well, like a Nordic type being that they talk about, but more like an angel to me, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And altered state, we were transported somewhere, left the cafeteria, and somehow my friends didn't even notice I was gone. They were on the other side of the room. When I got back, there was missing time, and all I can say is it was definitely a multi-dimensional encounter. And I went the best description would be on board some mothership. And I know that sounds odd, but I also experienced the hidden Shasta, the incredible city that's there of crystal light. And so there's much more than meets the eye. The invisible worlds really do exist. And as I was leaving this incredible energy of beings, the best way of describing them would be the Council of Light is what they've told me. And they come from Sirius, and they handed me a crystalline crop circle formation in made in three-dimensional fashion, which then vibrated in my right hand. And that was like ingrained in my memory, although much of what happened was pretty much immediately forgotten when I came back to my friends. Now, I didn't take the statue with me. It was just handed to me for a reason, so that I would remember in the future and be able to then call upon this information that they'd given me. And but we did, so I ended up going back to Baltimore saying, I don't know what happened. Nobody knew what happened. We all just kind of were zoned out.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, as time went on, and I worked for a very, as you can imagine, the school system, well, it's just heavy energy that I was working with, and I needed to get out of that for sure after this experience, and eventually did move to California. But on my way to California, I stopped off at a Barbara Marciniak conference. And during the intermission, I had an experience where I was handed a wooden statue of the crop circle formation that they had handed to me on the mothership. So when that was handed to me, my whole hand vibrated. Now, mind you, I didn't even have a clue about crop circles up till that time. And this experience as I was going to California was in 1993. So it took me a while to have the information come forward, and it was like packets of information immediately. Ah, yes, crop circles. I remember those. And so this statue vibrated to remind me of that experience. And sure enough, I got to California and started writing. It was just coming out of me. And it was channeled for sure, inspirational writing, and put together the crop circle cards that you now see before you, I hope.
Yes, they're right beside me. I have them here. Now, when did you start traveling to England? Because with the crop circles, I have been amazed at the patterns and the designs, and there are so many different stories that have evolved. You had these unique experiences that put a memory in your mind, and it brought it forth. So how did you find yourself in England? What ended up taking you across, you know, the Atlantic over there?
I wanted to research them further, and so I began going in 1994 and then started leading groups in 1995 to England, which began a whole nother series of events for me. Having these wonderful people along the journey with me, and I call it these divine pilgrimages. And England is a very special. It has many sacred sites. In the southern part of England is where we focused. And I have since become very well acquainted with the research of the crop circles and find them to be, there's no question in my mind that at that time that we were having some kind of communication with these higher beings. And again, I can only call them the Council of Light. Those are the groups that I've been working with from the star system Sirius. And but I know that there are other groups involved as well. And over the years, I mean, the energy is a beautiful energy. And of course, if you've been meditating, walking into the formations, you just can pick up on energies of what, you know, what's oftentimes can be somewhat harsh for people who just don't know how to adjust to energies. Their experiences have been different types of experiences, is what I'm trying to say. Mine have always been positive experiences in which I felt like I was floating and again, in this wonderful multidimensional bridge between worlds. Definitely a benevolent energy. There have been records of electromagnetic readings at the 7.5 hertz in some formations.
Yes, it's been quite interesting. Now, the one point that I think is very important is that these crop circles haven't just been in England. They've been all over the world. You, in the little book that goes along with crop circle, the crop circle cards, you call them the living oracle, there's quite a few countries, Australia, Japan, Russia, Canada, Germany, New Zealand, France, Switzerland, Sweden, Turkey. It's happened here in the United States. And you said that ice circle glyphs, now this was interesting to me, ice circle glyphs began appearing in Boston, Massachusetts on
the Charles
River. Mm-hmm. Now that, to me, would be pretty hard to make up or to do. How did they form on the ice?
Well, again, there's only speculation at this point, but there certainly has been a sense that sound is involved, and certainly there are plenty of researchers investigating that area, as well as, again, there's an electromagnetic change in the ground, and I suppose in the ice, because it's a medium of water, and water seems to be a part of the crop circle phenomena, and somehow that there is a frequency applied to whether it's grain or trees even have, but there's something that happens perhaps through the conductor of water to, you know, cymatics is a study of this, what sound does to different mediums. And water is definitely changed in that you can see. There have been studies where if you apply a frequency along with thinking love versus hate, you will see something very different between the two. Crystals will form from the water that look like they've been ragged and harsh when it's hate that you're including in that, or looking beautiful as snowflakes look if you've applied love. So there's definitely something, I think, that happens to the grain. It's almost like this energy speaks to that cereal grain and enters into a harmonious relationship with it. Then the grain will just go ahead and do whatever it wishes, to lie down in whatever shape or form that is the frequency that's speaking to it. Does that make sense?
Now, these crop circle cards that you have developed, you took the designs from crop circles that you've seen, and you have those that look like fractals. You have quite a few patterns and designs, and you have some layouts that you recommend for people with each of these, because it's such a unique deck. How does someone use the cards?
Well, I tell people when they're first getting to know them, there are 64 designs, and the best way to do to get familiar with just the different energies and the shapes of these designs is to draw one card per day in the morning, for instance, and ask that the divine guidance show you something about your day through the card. And or you can even ask a specific question if you'd like. But the nature of what your day is going to be like is a good way of asking questions. And in other words, the cards are getting to know you, you're getting to know them, and you need to be connecting to them visually and energetically. And through meditation, just when you draw one card, meditate on that specific design. And there's a certain resonating that people just automatically sense when they look at the different designs. They might immediately recognize a design that just resonates with them. In my private practice, I've learned that I can often go right to the unconscious mind using the cards in a multi-card spread and helping a client, obviously depending on whether they're open to that kind of working with divination or not. But it really is to access your higher awareness and your own wisdom. And that's the whole point of the cards. And anybody can use these cards. Children can use them. They're very easy to, when you see the cards, they are labeled. They have a specific word attributing to that quality of the design in the card. Or what I tell people initially when they're getting to know them is to use your own interpretation. Like I say, meditate and tap into your higher source and see what comes from that before you go to the interpretations in the book. But then the book can help you because there is a system that is being used here, that the cards, there's a signal between the different designs, in other words, that is helping to fine-tune the person by using them in multi-card spreads. So there's an interaction that goes on.
Now, you have also founded an institute called the HeartLink Institute. What is that? What is it all about?
Well, when I first moved here, I always wanted to do, have been doing counseling for many, many years prior to that. When I moved to California, I wanted to do some using esoteric sciences along with my counseling practice, because I was finding that the downloading of the information from these higher beings was exactly that, is the mystery school information. And of course, through the crop circles, I've learned a lot about the mystery school information, which is profound esoteric learning. And now the institute I started back in 1994, starting to teach those classes, and that I've been working with astrology for many years, decided to get that information to people, also providing them with all areas of esoteric sciences, the numerology, tarot, and, of course, the crop circles. And the Kabbalah is another. And now I also am put together a package that I feel is a cutting-edge package where I'm teaching the esoteric sciences along with the tenets of transpersonal psychology. And, of course, that's my background. So people can be certified as a HeartLink practitioner using and transpersonal psychology it simply means that it's psychology using information of the soul, and how essential that component is to the psyche of the person. And often psychology, if it's behavioralism, misses that whole area of the soul. So this institute, Heartlink Institute, is quite profound. I don't think there's another institute that is combining these two in such a way that then the person not only grows spiritually and develops as a higher being, and of course I think that's the reason we're here on the planet, but also can then help others to also heal the old program, the old many of the belief systems that we've been programmed with are going. They're collapsing right now, and this is very timely. It's all supposed to happen. But there's a rude awakening for a lot of people who have been kind of not wanting to pay attention and have been in denial about a lot of what's being revealed right now. So it's time to help those people and to have compassion. And so these counselors I'm helping to train that will help to deal with what's coming ahead, which will be quite an interesting awakening.
With the crop circle cards, and I've laid out a bunch of them here, all 63 of them down here, and they're all black and white. I want to come back to them for a moment, because one of the things that I have found in doing or working with different tools during the years, and something that I want to share with my listeners, is whenever you're wanting to develop your intuitive process, any tool that you're comfortable with to help you work with that process is a plus. And the reason that is because when you are dealing with shifting your thinking, when you are dealing with learning about yourself and your own intuitive processes, the tools sort of give you a grounding effect. And there's so many tools that you can use. Goodness gracious, throughout the centuries, as long as man's been around, they've either used glass clippings, stones, goat entrails, whatever was conveniently handy. And in Africa, they've used shells, they've used stones, they've used all kinds of things. And what it does, it enables you to develop a point of focus. So with the crop circle cards, they're rather unique. And if you're interested in something that is going to enable you to develop your own level of focus and concentration, this might be a tool that you'd invite, you know, be willing to use. And it takes an understanding that you're developing yourself. So if you find something you enjoy using, just realize it's nothing more than paper, design, and form. And what we're trying to do is encourage you to understand that you are the source of all of this. I had a student, I'll share this, Carrie, with someone that thought that using tarot cards or anything like that was just absolutely horrible. And I tried to find out why. I said, why is this so bad? And she related a very special story to me. And when we got down to the crux of it, I picked up some cards. I said, now I want you to look at these cards. She said, okay. I said, I want you to hold them. I said, what are they made of? She said, paper. I said, okay. And I tore one in half. And she just gasped. And I said, all of this is paper. You are the conduit. So your cards, the crop circle cards, enable people to make a shift. And if they use the little book that you've got, which is a small book, but it's got a lot of information packed into it, which I think is quite good, then you use that as a leverage, and then you become in tune with the way your mind processes are working, and it becomes something that allows you to leverage your own intuitive processes and become able to be receptive to them. So these are so interesting. I'm looking at the one called the Buzzsaw, and this is a fractal. If anybody's had any dealings with fractals in computers, they'd look at this and recognize it and say, oh, yes, that's a fractal. First, tell us what a fractal is. Carry on.
Oh, okay. Well, it's fractal geometry. It's another form of geometry. Using mathematics that are done differently for different sets or different orders of mathematics, so that you will have different types of fractals. And the first fractal we had ever in the crop circles happened in 1991 with the Mandelbrot set fractal. And that looks kind of like a blown-up heart, and it's quite impressive. And in those years, the early years, that really got a lot of attention. And then we had in 1997, I believe, this wonderful. Well, first of all, at Stonehenge, the Julia set fractal, which is a spiral shape, and it's. Like I say, it explains multidimensionality is the bottom line. Fractals basically show a holographic universe that just goes on and on and on into infinity. The Julia set then was found as a triple Julia set fractal at Windmill Hill several weeks later. And this is the one that you're talking about, the three-pronged spiral. And the wonderful energy. Well, just going into this formation, by the way, it was so spectacular. There was just no way that this could have been made by man, although there have been others that have been done by man. This surely had many of the researchers just nodding their heads that, yes, this proves it. And the centerpieces were all so different in the circles, the main circles anyway, of the formation. It was a profound one. Just walking into that, you just felt like, okay, this has high frequency energy. And I used it, it was channeled to use it as a purification device so that when people meditate on this and see it spiraling, they can literally cleanse out the whatever needs to go in their lives. And so it's a wonderful, a rapid way of doing some meditating and cleansing. Does that make sense?
Well, it's something that someone can try. My guest today has been Carrie O'Quinley. She has the HeartLink Institute. She has designed and developed these fascinating crop circle cards, which she calls the Living Oracle. And Carrie, how can people find out more about this? Where can they go? What's your website?
They can go to heartlinkinstitute.com. It's that simple. Or carriel.com, whichever. And that's Cariel, CARIEL.com. And, please do. I have hundreds of articles and, of course, of the Great Awakening that's going on the planet right now. So, and check out the certification program, as I say. And I now have streaming video classes that's just been newly installed. So if you're interested in studying from a distance, you can do that.
Wonderful. Carrie Quinley has been my guest today, and it's been a pleasure having you. Much success with your work and with your crop circle cards. Go to her website, heartlinkinstitute.com. We're going to be taking a break. This is Donna Siebel broadcasting live from Anchorage, Alaska. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't you go away now.
Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it.
Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo broadcasting live from Anchorage, Alaska, and I'll tell you what. We may be getting some snow before I head home. The skies are just filled with this gray cloud-like formation. And I was out this afternoon for a short while and someone said, oh, I think we're going to have snow. Yes, 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 we're ready for it. So that's just the way it is up here in the far north. And wherever you are, I hope you're nice and cozy. And, of course, there's parts of the country where you're warm and toasty. You wouldn't even think of snow hitting into your neck of the woods. But up here in the far north, that is something that this time of the year, it starts winging its way in. And Anchorage is usually a few weeks behind Fairbanks, where it already has snowed. Well, no matter where I am, those telephone lines are going to be open. And I invite you to call if you're a first-time listener to this broadcast. I'm so delighted that you've joined the Donna Sebo Show listening family. And here is the toll-free number that you can call into during this next half hour should you want to talk with me, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. For Canadians, you can call through 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And for everyone else, it is 530-876-9146. And I don't think I have that right number. I think that I'm going to have to be corrected. It's 876-3222. That's right. 530-876-3222. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then I'll give you some intuitive insights. And after that, you're welcome to ask me about anything or anyone that you like. Well, this is the time of the year where those of us that live in the Pacific Northwest, we get real excited. Why? Because it's apple season, and I'm here to tell you that some of the most delicious apples in the world come from the Leavenworth, Washington area. And this is an area, it's next door to Walla Walla, Washington, and you may say, gee whiz, Don, I haven't a clue where that is. Well, it's sort of on the other side of the mountains, and it is just absolutely fabulously wonderful apples. It has fabulously wonderful apple fields, and the flavor of those apples are just amazing. And my husband and I often go up into that area. We try to make an annual trek to go up and buy box loads of apples. And sometimes I'll come home and I'll make homemade applesauce, or we'll do some special things with apples, making preserves or whatever, because the flavor is absolutely wonderful. And of course, the mountains are beautiful with their color. Well, I got some information here regarding apples, and for many of you, you're going to have the opportunity to celebrate Oktoberfest in your own neighborhood. It's that time of the year, and this is a holiday that I think originated over in Germany. At least every Oktoberfest I've ever gone to has Germanic origins to it, and it's so much fun. It's a wonderful way to celebrate fall and to have good times with friends and family, because this is apple season. And there's nothing in the world that smells more wonderful than a batch of freshly picked apples. They have their own wonderful, wonderful fragrance that just refreshes your whole environment. So if you just put a bunch of them out on your table, there's that wonderful smell that comes out. They are wonderful if you want to make an attractive wreath on your table. Just pick a basket, fill them with apples, use all kinds of candles inside of them. You can use them as decorations and periodically go by, take one and munch on it while you want it. It's just absolutely great. Then we've got candy apples. We've got something about apple cider. Oh, I've got some wonderful things to share with you about apples. But we've got a caller on the line, and I want to go to that caller. I need that caller's first name or initial, and I'd love to know where you're calling from. Hello.
Hello, Fanny. F-L. Fanny.
Okay, F-L. And where are you calling from?
New York.
In New York?
Mm-hmm.
Is it New York City?
Yes, New York City.
Oh, wonderful. I'm going to be there week after next.
Yes.
I am so excited about coming to New York. I've got a special appearance with a National Publicity Summit.
I'm going
to be there for a couple of days, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. Okay, my dear, let's get down to business with you.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that I am looking at is there's going to be some dental work you're going to have to have done. Also, what I'm observing with you is you are breaking some bonds, and I think they're more like emotional bonds, that you feel have been keeping you in a limited situation. Those bonds are evaporating away, and you're going to find yourself liberated probably by the end of November, if not the first part of December.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes about because you're going to be making some choices about what you want to do and what you don't want to do. And so you're going to communicate your feelings to an individual, and they're going to say, you know what, this I just don't understand, and they're going to want to withdraw. And don't be worried about it, because it's not going to be what I'd call a real negative withdrawal. It's just as if they're saying, okay, I have to pull away. And you're going to say to yourself, that's a good thing. I'm not unhappy with that. That's okay. It's okay for you to pull away. And it's going to be a very gentle kind of a process. But I think what's happening more than anything else is that you're becoming more assertive for yourself about your life.
Yes,
and I think that that's wonderful. Did you have a question for me?
Yes. It's about the relationship with my husband. And also, I tried to move out. So what do you think about that? Because we have bad relationship.
Well, if you're talking about your husband, I think that actually I think more than anything else, he wants to save face. I don't think that he is that unhappy with what you have said.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what I feel more than what I think, what I am perceiving here is that down deep, he agrees with you. So what I'd like to see you do, if it is at all possible, is to maybe have someone who is going to be with you and interacting with you and your husband, if there would be a counselor or someone that you could interact with that would enable him to feel as if he can save face. In other words, it can be an amicable agreement. It doesn't have to be a heavy-duty argument. It doesn't have to be negative. It doesn't have to be nasty.
Yes. I try to move out for the reason. I don't want to leave some area. I don't feel safety. I'm going to move the area. It's better. I will say this way. Actually, I want to keep distance from him because we live together. I don't feel happy. I don't try to really separate from him. When he off, where he can come back home one day, one day a week, working in the restaurant. So keep distance. First.
Okay, I understand that, and I don't disagree with it, and I think he understands that too. The only thing again that I would recommend is that there be someone.
Uh-huh.
That whenever the two of you would come together to talk about things, someone else is present there.
Yes.
That would be like a mediator. And then I think that is going to be comfortable for both of you, and emotions will be kept in place because you must be just as responsible for your emotional discipline as he must be.
Yes. Okay, one thing is that I will get someone to talk to both of us. And also, do you think I don't know what to ask. Okay, it's most about this, emotional. You said I feel more liberty now, eh?
Yes, and that, I think, again, it's not that far off, but keep in mind this doesn't have to be ugly and it doesn't have to be nasty.
I know.
And I wish you the best, my dear.
Yeah, these few days, I feel more freedom. Before, I always try to please somebody. and then I don't have happy life like that. Then I stand up this way, I think, and then I feel better myself.
Right, and I think you are learning a great deal from this, so be patient. I'm going to have to go, my dear.
Okay, thank you so much.
You are very welcome.
So you're coming in December, so you're going
to... No, I'm going to be in New York City on the... Let's see, I'm trying to remember the dates here. It's towards the latter part of the month. You can go to my website, and you can see my calendar.
All right. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. If you wanted to call me to find out the exact date, I will be in my office Monday through Tuesday, Monday through Tuesday of this coming week, and you can call me at my 800 number, 872-8852.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. You have a fabulous evening now.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Stiebel, and as I said, I am going to be in Los Angeles. I'm going to be in the Southern California area traveling next week, and then the following week I am going to be in New York City. And if any of you are interested who are listening who might be in those locales, you would like to meet with me, all you have to do is call my office, 800-872-8852, and I will be glad to get information to you. Even though I'm on the road, I check in for my messages frequently. Also check my calendar on my website, DelphiInternational.com. Now, I want to let you know who's going to be on the air with me next week. We've got a wonderful lineup of people, and this is a traveling microphone, so wherever I am, the show still goes on. On Monday, we're going to be talking with Sue Morum on how to get a job and keep it. Also, we're going to be talking with Gimpo about big mind, big heart. And Karen Simmons is going to be my guest next Wednesday. We're going to be talking about children with special needs. And Karen has been a guest on my show in the past. We've talked about autism. She has children that have autism and her experience and so many, many points of information that I think it's good to be educated about. And then we're going to have an open mic day next week and also a day of the best of Donna while I am in the air flying, going to my destinations. We have a wonderful lineup of people, and be sure and check the bbsradio.com listing for the Donna Stiebel Show of the guests that are upcoming so you don't have to miss it. And remember always, we have archives that you can go to. If you've missed a show, hey, just pop in and turn on the archives and listen to that while you are doing whatever you're doing on the Internet and doing whatever homework you've got to do. You can always hear the interviews and find out about the wonderful guests that we have on the Donna Stiebel Show. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment. Don't go away. More good stuff about apples. And, hey, have you ever heard of a Zorse, a Z-O-R-S-E? Well, we have to find out what it is when we come back. Don't go away. Hello, this is Donna Stiebel, and apparently we're having some technical difficulty, but regardless, let's move forward. Okay, I was talking about apples before we got a telephone call, and I want to let you know that we do have telephone numbers you can call into toll-free, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S., Canadians, 888-810-8322, that's 888-810-8322, and everyone else, anyone else, you can call in to 530-876-3222, and you can give me a buzz, let me know your first name or your initial, and then after that I'll give you my mental impressions and you can ask me a question about anything that you like. Okay, I was talking about apples before we got our phone call.
candy apples. Halloween is coming. Ooh, that's one of the favorite foods of kids. And I know a lot of adults that love them, too. And here is a real, real simple way. If you want to make some candied apples, use your microwave. All you have to do is undo the wrapping on caramel candies or on chocolate bits. Yes, you can have chocolate candied apples as well. You put your apples on skewers, and then after you've melted them in the microwave, you just dip them in, roll them if you desire, then in chopped nuts or candy sprinkles, and then set them on a plate to get hardened. And everybody loves them. And, you know, use your favorite chocolate and your apples, any of your favorite apples. It doesn't make any difference. And if you like them really, really tart with that sweetness of sugar that, you know, covers them, it's just absolutely great. And also, one of my favorite drinks, especially when it starts getting warm, not warm, but cold, is cider. Yes, you can have apple cider icy cold, or you can have it nice and hot and wonderfully fragrant. All you have to do is put a cinnamon stick into a batch of apple cider, and you can even add some cloves if you like, and put it on the stovetop and let it warm up. And I'll tell you something's really, really good in apple cider are Red Hots. Those are wonderful, and you heat them in your cider until they melt, and you've got this wonderful cinnamony, hot, spicy, cinnamony flavor that is just wonderful, wonderful to share. And, oh, does it make the house smell good? It's great. You can even add, if you're so inclined, a touch of rum or a dash of cranberry cocktail to add a different type of flavor. So use your imagination. But it is so good, and it smells so wonderful. And I'll tell you what's just absolutely awesome is juicing fresh apples. If you want a taste that you will find absolutely unbelievable, if you can get a hold of a juicer and cut up your apples, you don't even have to seed them because the juicer automatically filters out the seeds, but you put it through, you drink it. It is a flavor that is unequaled. And you know what? If you want to get fresh fruit juice into children, this is one of the best ways to get it. And it is absolutely delicious, absolutely delicious. Also, have you ever tried roasting apples on a grill? You know, people often talk about grilling, and if you're having something outside at a campfire, or maybe you've got one of these special barbecue units where everybody can gather around on the patio and it's cold outside, why not slice apples, put them on a skewer stick, and just grill them slowly? You just rotate them until they're tender and sprinkle them with a little bit of cinnamon sugar, or you can put them over ice cream. Absolutely awesome. Or eat them right off the skewer. But it's really, really good. And kids can do this with you, and it's healthy, too. And you can figure out all kinds of things to go with it. Of course, a fresh apple always makes an awesome snack. So Oktoberfest, it's the time to celebrate fall. It is a time to get ready for Halloween. But more than anything, it's a wonderful excuse to get together with family and friends and just to have a good time. And there's so many festivals all over the country, so look them up in your area and go out and have a good time. Donna Sebo here. We have another caller, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Mikaela. I'm calling from Livermore, California.
Well, hi, Mikaela. What a beautiful name. Is that Russian?
No, it's Italian, really. my maiden name was Maselli, and my connection with Archangel Michael is so close that he basically asked me to turn it into a feminine name to be more like his, and I did, which I never wanted to do, was, you know, change my name in the last 22 years of my spiritual path. I said, I'm never going to do that.
Well, Michele is a nice name.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And it's nice to meet a fellow paisan. I've got Italian also. My father came from the old country, so I have real appreciation. Give me the location in California again.
Livermore. It's near
Livermore.
San Francisco, across the bay.
Yes. Wonderful yes. Community. Growing like a weed. Okay, yes. Michele, the first thing that I'm looking at with you, I think you're going to have an eye exam, hon. There's something going on when you're working on the computer. I'm getting this odd pulling with my left eye, and then it's like I have a pressure behind my right eye. And
really?
I think it's having to do with your muscles. And the best thing you could do periodically would be to actually just take a break from the computer and maybe look out a window and just look at some trees, go out, take a walk. Now you're laughing at me.
Well, I am. Actually, I have my computer right next to a window that I can look out at trees all the time, because I realize I need to do that, and I'm on the computer so much. But thank you for that. I did have an eye exam about a month and a half ago, and nothing was shown, but I will definitely pay more attention to that.
I would, because you may need this discomfort. Now, it's not what I call a headache. It's an eye ache, and it might just be necessary for you to have a pair of glasses when you're working on the computer. If you don't give them enough of a break, it may be necessary for you to have glasses that you wear when you're working on the computer so that your eyes aren't stressed, because you're using your eyes so much and focusing in a different way. And, of course, the light and everything else that's around you, you need to make sure you have an abundance of that. Don't work in a dark room. Make sure it's got plenty of light.
Absolutely.
So that's important. Also, you need to make sure that your vehicle is up to par. You're going to be on the road quite a bit, and you need to make sure that you have it winterized and put new windshield wipers on. Goodness, I sound like an old mother hen. But
no, you're funny as heck. That's okay. Go ahead.
But you really need to do this because you're going to be in that vehicle. And for heaven's sakes, would you vacuum out all the stuff that is stuck in between the seats?
Oh, God, that is too funny. Well, it's funny because I've just put about $1,800 worth of work into my car because I've been traveling back and forth to Mount Shasta quite a bit. And it looks like my future might be moving up there. And then there'll be even more traveling back down to the Bay Area to my children and grandchildren.
Well, keep that car in good shape.
Do you see that, the move to Shasta?
Not real soon, no. Not real soon.
I think
you need to shop around if you're going to be up there, and you really need to think carefully about where, if you choose to move there, you really need to look at whether or not you want to invest in a house or which you would rather rent. Because I don't know that is where you're going to stay. So if you want to have a secondary residence there, that might be wise. But you need to think it through. You need to get things together so that you look at staying sort of loose, if you will, where you're not really anchored down in the sense of ownership.
Right.
Because there are a number of changes occurring over the next 2.5 to 3 years. And you may find that you will not be able to stay. If you moved to Shasta, you would not be able to stay there that very long, and then you'd have to leave it.
Huh, interesting. Okay. Interesting.
So don't get so animated and excited about this that you don't ground yourself enough to really look at what is a practical side, because you are going to be a very mobile person, and you need to be in that situation where whenever you're ready to pick up and move and travel and go from one spot to another, you're going to be able to do that easily.
Oh, you're funny. God had me on a road trip for about 6 years while I was up and moving. Okay, time to move here, time to move there. I thought I was able to settle down for a while. One very quick question, if I may.
Sure, quick like a bunny. We're almost out of time.
Okay. I have been guided to create a virtual sanctuary online, and it's called the sanctuaryoftheheart.org.
Mm-hmm.
And I have done as much as I possibly can as far as what my talents are concerned, and I sit here and I wait, and I keep hearing not your time, thy time. But I am wondering if the energy is still there, because I definitely need programmers and 3D artists to actually make this into a complete virtual sanctuary.
Well, I think what you need to do is, you don't need to do it yourself. And what I would do is perhaps check your local colleges and maybe even some high schools to see if they have some students that are especially talented with computers and if they'd like to take on a project.
Oh, that's an idea. I did think about calling some art schools.
Yes, that would be a good idea too. But I think you've got a lot of local young people that would be very talented and capable of assisting you, and it would be a wonderful challenge for them. Hannah, I have to go. We are out of time.
Donna, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I'm sorry we're out of time. This is Donna Siebel. I'm going to be back in my own home territory of the Pacific Northwest as of Monday. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul, and there is no one more precious than you. I want you to celebrate every moment that this day, the next, and the next offers you. Take care. Be blessed. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.